Hello, this is Paula Kaufman with the Herald and Review dated Thursday, October 9th, 2025. We'll start with an article on the front page headlined, White House, Trump, Arrest Pritzker. President also aims at Chicago mayor in ICE crackdown. By Michelle L. Price and Sophia Turin, Associated Press, Washington. President Donald Trump on Wednesday said the Illinois governor and Chicago mayor, both Democrats, should be jailed as they oppose his deployment of National Guard troops for his immigration and crime crackdown in the nation's third largest city. The officials said they would not be deterred. The Republican president made the comment in a social media post, the latest example of his brazen calls for his opponents to be prosecuted or locked up. A break from longtime norms, as the Justice Department traditionally has strived to maintain its independence from the White House. Trump wrote on Truth Social that Mayor Brandon Johnson and Governor J.B. Pritzker should be in jail for failing to protect ICE officers. It was a reference to the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. It was not immediately clear what Trump was objecting to. Johnson, in a post on X, said, "This is not the first time Trump has tried to have a black man unjustly arrested. I'm not going anywhere." Pritzker, also on X, said, "I will not back down. Trump is now calling for the arrest of elected representatives checking his power. What else is left on the path to full-blown authoritarianism?" White House spokeswoman Abigail Jackson, when asked what crimes the president believed Pritzker and Johnson had committed, failed to identify any. But she said they have blood on their hands and pointed to Chicago Police Department reports that at least 5 people were killed and 25 shot over the weekend. Instead of taking action to stop the crime, these Trump-deranged buffoons would rather allow the violence to continue and attack the president for wanting to help make their city safe again, Jackson said. National Guard troops from Texas are positioned outside Chicago, despite a lawsuit by the state and city to block the deployment. The troops' mission is not clear, but the Trump administration has undertaken an aggressive immigration enforcement operation in Chicago. Trump has called Chicago a hellhole of crime, even though police statistics show significant drops in most crimes, including homicides. Protesters have skirmished with agents outside a detention center in the village of Broadview, outside Chicago. A woman in Chicago was shot by a Border Patrol agent over the weekend after she and a man were accused of using their vehicles to strike and then box in the agent's vehicle. The agent then exited his car and fired 5 shots at Miramar Martinez, 30. Martinez and Anthony Ruiz, 21, are charged with forcibly assaulting a federal officer and were ordered to be released Monday pending trial. Martinez's lawyer, Christopher Parente, said body camera footage contradicts the federal government's narration of her actions. Trump's comment came as former FBI Director James Comey appeared in a Virginia courtroom, pleading not guilty in a case that has intensified concerns about Justice Department's efforts to target Trump adversaries. When Trump was campaigning for the White House in 2024, at a time he faced criminal and civil investigations, he told supporters, "I am your retribution." The Justice Department has also opened criminal investigations this year against California Senator Adam Schiff, New York Attorney General Letitia James, and former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, who is running for New York City mayor. The 3, all Democrats, have all denied wrongdoing and say the investigations are politically motivated. Community, shining a light for survivors. Candle flames signal support for domestic violence victims. This is a 3-photograph photo essay. The photos are in full color and attributed to Joseph Ressler Photos, Herald and Review. The first photo is captioned, Dawn Bernard passes a flame to Samantha Berry during the Dove Inc. Macon County Candlelight Ceremony for Domestic Violence Awareness Month at First Evangelical Lutheran Church in Decatur on Tuesday, October 7th. The second photo is captioned, "Families, supporters, legal advocates, law enforcement partners, and Dove Inc. employees and volunteers join the Macon County Candlelight Ceremony for Domestic Violence Awareness Month at First Evangelical Lutheran Church in Decatur on Tuesday, October 7th. And the third photo is captioned, "Joyce Kirkland, Domestic Violence Program Director at Dove Inc., honors victims and survivors during the Macon County Candlelight Ceremony for Domestic Violence Awareness Month at First Evangelical Lutheran Church in Decatur on Tuesday, October 7th. Tariffs, alcohol. Canada's cold shoulder is costly. By Bruce Schreiner, Associated Press. American distillers have gotten a costly cold shoulder from Canada, where their exports have plunged 85% this year, topping broad declines in key international markets amid global trade tensions, a spirits industry group says. Even a thaw in trade relations might not shake this hangover right away. Even though things have eased up, we are still not back on the shelf in Canada, said Kentucky craft distiller Tom Bard. Probably won't be for a good long while. The majority of Canadian provinces continue to ban American spirits from shelves, though Canada removed its retaliatory tariff on the products weeks ago, the Distilled Spirits Council of the United States said. There's another nagging concern, that consumer reaction to the trade conflicts could curb the international thirst for American spirits in key markets. Overall exports of American spirits fell 9% in the second quarter of 2025 compared to a year ago, the council said in its report this week. Sharp declines occurred in other crucial markets, the European Union, United Kingdom, and Japan, it said. That comes on the heels of a banner year for U.S. spirits exports in 2024, the council said. Total first quarter exports in 2025 edged up by 1% from a year ago. In the ultra-competitive spirits world, the sudden drop-off is a dispiriting development for U.S. distillers. There's a growing concern that our international consumers are increasingly opting for domestically produced spirits or imports from countries other than the U.S., signaling a shift away from our great American spirits brands, said Chris Swanger, the council's CEO. Canada remains the only key trading partner that retaliated against U.S. spirits in the latest rounds of trade conflicts spurred by President Donald Trump's tariff policies. The president maintains that open trade costs the U.S. millions of factory jobs and that tariffs are the path to American-made prosperity. But American distilled spirits have been a high-profile target for retaliation. Outdoors. Illinois trout season opens October 18th. By Brendan Sanders, Jacksonville Journal-Courier, Springfield. Trout fishing season is almost here for Illinois residents. The 2025 Illinois fall trout fishing season will open Saturday, October 18th, at 60 ponds, lakes, and streams throughout the state. No trout may be taken from any of the stock sites until the season opens at 5 a.m. October 18th. The daily catch limit is 5 trout. All anglers must have an Illinois fishing license and inland trout stamp, which are available at Illinois Department of Natural Resources license and permit locations, including many bait shops, sporting goods stores, and other retail outlets. Residents can check the IDNR agent locator website for locations. The public can purchase fishing licenses and trout stamps online. The Illinois Catchable Trout Program is funded by those who use the program through the sale of inland trout stamps. IDNR stocks more than 80,000 rainbow trout each year in bodies of water where trout fishing is permitted during the fall season. An additional 80,000 trout are stocked for the spring season that begins each April. For information about site regulations, anglers should contact individual sites that will be stocked with catchable-sized trout. Anglers are reminded to check the opening time of the sites prior to the opening date. The fall trout season offers opportunities for families to get outdoors and enjoy fishing. Resources are available online for taking kids fishing. For more information on trout seasons and other Illinois fishing opportunities, visit ifishillinois.org. The Macon County fall trout season site is Rock Springs Pond, Macon County Conservation District. A list of the entire 60 locations is available at heraldandreview.com. Courts. Man gets jail time for killing cat. By Tony Reed, Decatur. Justice arrived swiftly for convicted Decatur pet cat killer Delbert W. McGee. Within an hour and 15 minutes of his appearance in Macon County Circuit Court, he was being booked into the Macon County Jail to start his punishment. McGee, 45, was sentenced to 180 days incarceration Tuesday morning after taking a plea deal and admitting a charge of aggravated cruelty to animals. The defendant had previously been free on pretrial release after being arrested on the night of May 12th following the cat's death. The wording of the charge against him said he had grabbed a female owner's cat and held it down while using both feet to stomp on its head and body, resulting in the cat's death. In addition to the jail sentence and probation term, Judge Rodney Forbes also ordered McGee to undergo a mental health and substance abuse evaluation and to complete any recommended treatment. Other sentencing conditions banned him from owning or possessing any companion domesticated animals while serving his probation sentence. And he was ordered to avoid any contact with the cat's owner and to stay away from her home. Logan County Police. School threat leads to arrest. By Caitlin Klepek, Lincoln. Lincoln police have arrested an individual accused of making threats against juveniles at Lincoln Junior High School this week. The Lincoln Police Department received a report on Monday evening of threats being made against juveniles, encompassing threats made against Lincoln Junior High School, according to a news release. The threats were determined to have been made by one adult individual and were not made on any District 27 campus. Police conducted an investigation and had a suspect in custody by 10:38 p.m. Monday, the news release said. The district then informed all staff and parents of the situation and assured them that there were no further safety concerns at the school. The determination to deem the school safe of this threat or any other threat is not something the police department or District 27 staff take lightly, LPD stated in its news release. Many of our own children and our own family members attend schools within the district. The statement added that they would not have allowed students to return to school if there was still a threat of harm. The statement concluded by asking citizens to remain cautious about social media use, warning specifically about getting information from unreliable sources. Many of these people distribute misinformation and have very little or no factual knowledge. For trustworthy information, please refer to your official school communications. Every parent should be signed up to receive them, and they come in email, text, or voice call, the release said. Survey ranks O'Hare, Midway, below average, by Talia Soglin, Chicago Tribune, Chicago. Air passengers are still more dissatisfied with Chicago's airports than they are with many of their peers across the U.S. and Canada, according to a survey. Both O'Hare International and Midway International airports rank below average on the J.D. Power 2025 North America Airport Satisfaction Study. Each made small gains in the rankings over the last year. Midway, though still ranked below average among its peers in the large airports category, climbed up a few places from last year. It's now ranked 19 out of 27 airports in the category, just below New York's LaGuardia, which has received widespread praise over the last few years after an $8 billion revamp. O'Hare also saw slight improvement over its performance in last year's survey, when it was ranked third from the last in the mega airports category. This year, it was ranked fifth from last, gaining ground over Seattle-Tacoma and Charlotte-Douglas International Airports. It's ranked 16 out of 20 airports in that category, just below Los Angeles International. At O'Hare, work on a planned $8.2 billion overhaul finally got underway this summer, after years of delays and negotiations. The plan, first negotiated under then-Mayor Rahm Emanuel in 2018, calls for the construction of two new satellite terminals and a replacement of Terminal 2 with a new global terminal, designed by a Gene Gang-led team. Courts, Decatur. Hijacker gets 10 years, by Tony Reed. Decatur. The bra and robe-clad Decatur woman, who solicited an 83-year-old male laundromat customer for sex and later beat him bloody and hijacked his car after he refused, has been sent to prison for 10 years. Shantaya L. Bond, 34, took a plea deal Tuesday in Macon County Circuit Court that saw her admit to a charge of aggravated vehicular hijacking, a Class X felony carrying a maximum penalty of 30 years. As part of the plea deal, presiding Judge Thomas Griffith agreed to dismiss further charges, accusing Bond of robbery and aggravated battery in the crime, which dates to around 7 a.m. July 9th at the West Grand Laundromat. A sworn affidavit filed by the Decatur Police Department said the victim had encountered Bond when he came in to do his laundry. The victim told the police the defendant was wearing just a black bra and a multicolored bathrobe, and she wanted him to pay her for sexual favors. The man declined and left to go get breakfast, but Bond was still there when he came back and became much more hostile. The victim told police she had snatched a quarter from him, trapped him inside the laundromat by holding the door shut, and then launched a fierce attack. The victim stated that Shantaya punched him several times in the head with both her left and right closed fists, said Officer Tanner Brummett, who signed the affidavit. He stated he was hit hard enough to knock him to the ground. He stated he was punched several more times in the head with both Shantaya's left and right closed fists. Police arrive to find the victim bleeding heavily from his head with bloodstains all over his clothes and dripped blood throughout the laundromat interior. Bond had grabbed the victim's car keys and cell phone before fleeing in his car, but her clean getaway didn't last too long, however. Brummett said police utilized their street camera system for finding vehicles by identifying license plates and had tracked Bond down and arrested her at the wheel of the hijacked Toyota Corolla within an hour of the crime. Pronouncing sentence, Judge Griffith told Bond she would have to serve the 10 years at 85%, and he agreed to recommend her for substance abuse treatment while she is incarcerated. Taylor lauded with Severn's Integrity Award, by Valerie Wells, Decatur. Longtime union member Jim Taylor is the 2025 Penny Severn's Integrity Award recipient. Taylor is a retired member of the United Auto Workers Local 751. He worked at Caterpillar and was an active and engaged union member, serving on the Civil Rights Committee for many years. He was recognized for his lifetime of service, including his commitment to the Workers' Memorial Monument to remember workers who have died on the job, community projects, including the naming of Preston Jackson Park, Martin Luther King Jr. Drive, and the Sheriff Roger E. Walker Memorial Road, recruitment of candidates to run for office, earning the title of Decatur Citizen of the Year in 2023. 24 years of service as a retiree, serving on Secretary of State Jesse White's Merit Commission, and 58 years as an elected precinct committee person for the Macon County Democratic Central Committee. The award is named in honor of the late Senator Penny Severns and is presented to Democrats at local and state levels who embody the dedication, honesty, and integrity demonstrated by Severns during her career. She died of breast cancer in 1998 at the age of 46. The awards reception also included a tribute to longtime Democrat supporter Howard Boy, who co-founded the reception to honor his friend, Penny, in 2011. Boy died in December 2024 at the age of 98. He was awarded the Legacy Award posthumously for his lifetime of generosity and commitment promoting the values of the Democrat Party. Donations were collected for breast cancer awareness and will be presented at the end of the month to the Cancer Care Center in Severn's name. Troops arrive in Chicago suburbs. Court hearing Thursday to review Illinois bid to block guard deployment by Aaron Hooley and Christine Fernando, Associated Press, Elwood, Illinois. National Guard troops are positioned outside Chicago as the Trump administration pushes ahead with an aggressive policy toward big city crime, whether local leaders support it or not. More troops could be in Memphis by Friday. National Guard members from Texas had settled in at an Army Reserve Center in Illinois by early Wednesday, despite a lawsuit and vigorous opposition from Democratic elected leaders. Their exact mission was not clear, though the Trump administration has an aggressive immigration enforcement operation in the nation's third largest city. And protesters have frequently rallied at an immigration building outside Chicago in Broadview. The president has called Chicago a hellhole of crime, although police statistics show significant drops in most crimes, including homicides. In Memphis, Tennessee, Police Chief Sarah Lynn Davis said a small group of commanders were already in the city, planning for the arrival of guard troops. Republican Governor Bill Lee has said troops will be deputized by the U.S. Marshals Service to play a critical support role for local law enforcement, though that role hasn't been precisely defined yet. President Donald Trump's bid to deploy the military on U.S. soil over local opposition has triggered a conflict with blue state governors. Illinois and Chicago are urging a federal judge to stop Trump's long-declared war on the state. A court hearing on their lawsuit is scheduled for Thursday. In Oregon, a judge over the weekend blocked the Guard's deployment to Portland. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker has predicted that National Guard troops from the state would be activated, along with 400 from Texas. He has accused Trump of using troops as political props and pawns and said he didn't get a heads up from Washington about their deployment. The Associated Press saw military personnel in uniforms with the Texas National Guard patch at the U.S. Army Reserve Center in Elwood, 55 miles southwest of Chicago. Trucks marked Emergency Disaster Services dropped off portable toilets and other supplies. Trailers were set up in rows. Extra fencing was spread across the perimeter. The nearly 150-year-old Posse Comitatus Act limits the military's role in enforcing domestic laws. However, Trump has said he would be willing to invoke the Insurrection Act, which allows a president to dispatch active duty military in states that are unable to put down an insurrection or are defying federal law. The Federal Aviation Administration ordered flight restrictions over the Army Reserve Center for security reasons until December 6th. Armed Border Patrol agents making arrests near famous landmarks has amplified concerns after an immigration crackdown that began last month. Agents have targeted immigrant-heavy and largely Latino areas. Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson signed an executive order Monday barring federal immigration agents and others from using city-owned property as staging areas for enforcement operations. Since starting his second term, Trump has sent or talked about sending troops to 10 cities, including Baltimore, the District of Columbia, New Orleans, and the California cities of Oakland, San Francisco, and Los Angeles. Most violent crime around the U.S. has declined in recent years. In Chicago, Homicides were down 31% to 278 through August, police data shows. Portland's homicides from January through June decreased by 51% to 17 this year, compared with the same period in 2024. In Portland, months of nightly protests at a U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement facility continued on Tuesday night. In June, police declared a riot, and there have been smaller clashes since then. An appeals court has scheduled arguments for Thursday in the government's bid to deploy the Guard in Portland. Oregon Democratic Governor Tina Kotek said Tuesday she told the Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem there's no insurrection in the state. Portland Police Chief Bob Day said Tuesday that the department needs to work more closely with federal agents as it looks to put more officers at the ICE facility. In brief, Strode tapped for Baby Talk director role. Decatur. Decatur native Rachel Strode has been hired as the new executive director of Baby Talk, the nonprofit educational organization with a mission to provide positive impacts on child development to families in central Illinois. Strode has served families and built connections with the community through her 20-year career in financial services, nonprofit governance, and client experience leadership. She has held positions at Parker Mathis Wealth Advisors, Busey Bank, PNC Bank, and Regions Bank. She has also served the community as the board chair of Paw Print Ministries, has been on the Decatur Area Convention and Visitors Bureau Board of Directors, served with United Way of Decatur and Macon County, and has held multiple leadership roles with the Children's Museum of Illinois. She was also named a Herald and Review 20 Under 40 honoree in 2020. For more information about Baby Talk and the services it provides, visit the agency's website. Harvest Festival set for October 11th, Decatur. Rock Springs Center will host a Harvest Festival from 1 to 4 p.m. Saturday, October 11th, on the center's grounds at 3939 Nearing Lane. Activities for all ages will include 3D archery and tattle throwing, canoe float trips, pumpkin painting, and wagon rides. The Homestead Prairie Farm, with its woodworking shop and gardens, will be open for free tours and concessions will be available for purchase. Cost for archery and canoeing is $3 per person. Pumpkin painting is $5 per person. And all other events are free. We'll take a break now and return with the second half of the Herald and Review, dated Thursday, October 9th, 2025. Please stay tuned.